Last week, the FBI raided 6 homes in Minneapolis and 2 in Chicago, allegedly searching for links to terrorism. The Minneapolis raids targeted anti-war activists, among them Jessica Sundin and Mick Kelly, key organizers of the big march on the first day of the Republican National Convention in 2008. In one Minneapolis home, agents arrived with warrants, searched every room, attic, and basement, looking through CDs, DVDs, books, and photos. Passports, travel, and phone records were among items seized from the homes. The FBI issued subpoenas for the peace activists to appear before a grand jury in Chicago on October 12. The FBI search warrants indicate that agents were looking for connections between local anti-war activists and groups in Colombia and the Middle East. We're pleased today to be joined by attorney, activist, and National Lawyers Guild member Jim Fenerty. Jim, welcome to Law and Disorder.
It's a pleasure to be here today.
Well, you've had a busy last week with the raids taking place all around the country. Can you tell us briefly what your role is in this?
Well, my role is I'm not the only one. Basically, we're putting a group of lawyers together from the National Lawyers Guild to try and represent people at the grand jury, and if any indictments come out of this, to represent people if anybody is indicted. And so we have been basically speaking to our clients right now about what a grand jury is, how it functions, and telling them they have a right to refuse to testify at a grand jury or not.
How many clients are we talking about?
Well, as of Friday, I knew about 10 people who got subpoenas. As of Monday, I found out that 2 more people in Minneapolis got subpoenas. So far, there's a total of 12 people with subpoenas.
Now, do you think there's a connection between the Supreme Court's decision in Holder v. Humanitarian Law Project and this rash of raids and issuance of subpoenas?
Well, I guess my feeling is that I think in this decision, which I don't know if your listeners know about or not, but anyways, I think it emboldens the government to push the envelope and see what they can get away with here, basically trying to say that certain things that people have done may involve, as they say, material aid to terrorist groups.
Yeah, that's like giving people free legal counsel is material aid.
And we're talking international terrorist groups.
Yeah. Jim Fenerty, what people in Chicago are you personally representing, and what's their political story? Why do you think they're targets?
Well, this is the thing. I was just at the U.S. Attorney's Office. I had another case in federal court this morning, and the U.S. Attorney afterwards, turns out, is the same attorney on these cases, and he wanted to talk to me. Basically, so far, he has not told me anybody who is actually a target. And so we're concerned what that means. I've been lied to before when I went down to Florida in the Sammy Arian case with somebody else who was involved in that. And they said they couldn't tell me. I get down there, we take the Fifth Amendment, and they say, we're not offering your guy immunity, go home. And then a month or two later, he gets an indictment. Under their manual, technically, they're not supposed to send out a subpoena in a grand jury for a target unless they get higher authority to do that.
Heidi and I were talking about that.
So let's just explain for our listeners about grand juries a bit. When you talk about a target, you mean an individual who's under suspicion for violating the law.
That is correct.
But what's happening now is that individuals are being given subpoenas in what we call a fishing expedition, to try to get information about other people?
That's what it sounds like now, but I really, like I said, that's what they told me. And this happened before where somebody told me something and it didn't actually work out true, but that's what I've been told today. Basically, a grand jury in its inception historically, hundreds of years ago, was supposed to be citizens coming together and determine if charges should be filed criminally against somebody or... But what it's become is become almost, to me, almost like a rubber stamp for the government. Because basically what happens, the government, U.S. attorneys can be inside the grand jury. There's around 23 people who are called citizens to be at the grand jury. And what happens is that the U.S. attorney can be inside. They can ask you questions. You can refuse to answer those questions. But your side never gets told to these 23 people. In other words, your lawyer can't come in there and argue for you and give your side of it. That's why it's, like I said, it's pretty much a rubber stamp for what the prosecutors want. And people should be very, very concerned about going there because what you say could be twisted around, and you just got to be very vigilant about what you do. You know, most cases, you know, people can say they don't want to testify at the grand jury. They're going to exercise their Fifth Amendment rights against incrimination. What they could do at a grand jury, they could offer you immunity, which is use immunity. It's not total immunity. But what that means is if they offer you immunity and then you refuse to testify, you can be taken to a judge. They'll read the questions to the judge, and they'll ask you to answer that question. If you continue to refuse to answer that question, then a judge can hold you into civil contempt, and you could be incarcerated for the length of the remaining time of the grand jury.
And that can be a long time.
Well, that can be, depending on how long the grand jury sits. But what happens, you know, your lawyer can go back periodically and say, look, a judge, this person has been there for 3 months or whatever, and they're not going to testify. They're still not going to testify. So it makes no sense to continue to lock them up, and hopefully you'll get a sympathetic judge for that.
Because it is lawful to hold someone in civil contempt, to incarcerate them as a method of coercion.
Correct.
But not as punishment.
Correct.
And that's why we try to argue that it's not doing any good.
Yeah, there's not much difference, is there?
No. Do you expect there to be more raids, Jim?
I don't know if there's going to be more raids or not. They're not showing us all their cards yet, so we don't know where they're going with this. But, there could be raids, but I think that it seems that maybe this is like a test, case to see how far they can push the envelope since the humanitarian aid project case.